you will know that we're continuing the series on encounters with Jesus. Encounters. I mean, the amazing thing is, I love that word, encounters. Because when you encounter Jesus, as most of you already know, your life is transformed. There is no going back. And we see in the characters that we've been looking at just that. And last week, Norman took you to Samaria. It's quite a nice place, Samaria. Did you like the well? Did you have a conversation there? You did, oh good, I thought you might, because actually the conversation that Jesus had caused the entire Samaritan nation almost to come out and say, would you please stay here for 2 days or so? And that's what he did. And then Jesus goes on, John reports, he goes on into Galilee and he meets an official of Cana, whose son is lying in bed, dangerously ill in Capernaum. And Jesus says, don't worry, go home. You'll be healed. I mean, what? I mean, come on. But you haven't touched him. You haven't been there. How do you know? Oh, but this is Dr. Jesus. The impossible is possible with Jesus. Did you know that? The impossible is possible. I am one of the impossibles. And then John, in his gospel, cuts to chapter 5, and it's interesting the way he cuts to it. Well, that's nice, thank you. It's interesting, he says, sometime later. He doesn't say, if this was Luke, the historian, he'd say exactly when it was and how long it took, but John's not interested in that. What he's interested in is how Jesus impacts those when they encounter him. And this is yet another impact of Jesus on another individual in great need. And so let's just read the text. We're doing John 5, 1 to 15. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Oh no. You know, there's humour throughout the Bible. And I mean, well, you can't carry a mat on Sunday. We'll come to that later and tell you it's even worse than that, really. But anyway, verse 11. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So let's pray. Father, you've already been speaking to us through this service, and we ask now that you would continue now. Help us to hear what you have to say to us through these wonderful words of Scripture, and then give us courage to be obedient to what we hear. Amen. So, Jesus finds his way through to the pool, and this situation, which is really a hospital almost, all these people, bless them, there, lying, it says a great number of disabled people, and they were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed, all sorts, and they would congregate and come to this place. It's amazing, really. Now, we need to know, you need to know, that the actual place that John describes, in the 19th century, people said, where is it? And they couldn't find it, because it didn't exist, apparently. And because it didn't exist, immediately in those days, the Enlightenment came about, and they said, oh, the scripture's rubbish, you know, it's inaccurate, we've got to be very careful what we take on board. And then in the 20th century, the archaeologists found it.
Yes.
Don't you just love it when it comes together? And there are two of the five, two pools and some of colonnades, I said, five colonnades were found, proving that actually this arrangement existed in Jesus' time. And this story that John tells of Jesus coming to him is true. Now that's the first thing we need to look at. And then this great number, and verse 4, if you had your Bibles open, which I know some of you will have, but in verse 4, it is a verse which the best manuscripts don't have. The reason is that it says this: from time to time an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had, which explains why the man said, nobody lets me in, and then I'm too late, I missed that one time for healing. Most of the best manuscripts don't have that, and it's suggested that after, whenever, this was added as a means of explanation to explain what it was, why this situation had happened. Another commentator has said, look, this is a pool spring, a spring-fed pool, and you would naturally see when the spring began to feed the pool, you would naturally see the stirring of the waters, so it was possible. But we don't need to worry about that, because the facts of the healing are very clear and obvious there. And I say we don't need to worry about that, but we do need to have our armour on today, okay? Because people today are keen to reinterpret scripture. And you've heard me say that before. And we have to be extremely careful what we do when we're handling God's word. And so that's why I think it's important that we explain that particular verse not being in the best manuscripts, but still being there as an explanation, so that we know that we do look carefully at scripture in order to make certain that what we are seeing, what we are reading, is true to God's word. Okay, right. So the hospital, that's verses 2 to 3, and then the question, verses 5 to 7. I mean, this poor man had been an invalid for 38 years. That probably means that he hadn't walked in 38 years. And verse 7 confirms it, doesn't it, that he can't get to the pool. He can't even crawl to the pool, it appears, in time. And Jesus sees him. I love it when the Bible says Jesus sees a man or a woman. You know that's more than just when I see people, I see the outside. But when Jesus sees, he sees everything. and he will have seen this man. And he asks this question: do you want to be well? I beg your pardon. I mean, hang on. I'm sat here with all the rest of the blind and the lame and the deaf and those in need, and you ask me, do you want me to, you know, do you want me to do well? But we need to understand, if you were in this man's shoes, okay, well, if you were in that situation, you would need to have a lifestyle to support you, because there was no welfare state. There was no organization that supported you in any other way. You had to beg for a living, unless you could do something. And this man presumably could do very little, except sit on the street corner and beg. And of course, the Jews were very generous. They saw generosity as being part of their responsibility to God, and they would give money and give food. And there were those who had a lifestyle which was begging. And so when Jesus said, do you want to be well? We need to understand that actually this man needed to know that this would be a transformation. Not necessarily he would have challenges, because now he would be a, I don't know, 38-year-old, a 50-year-old, with no background, no experience of doing anything. He would have to go and find a living. So his, in a way, his healing was going to have its own problems. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, good, thank you for agreeing in there. So that's the big question. That's why Jesus needed to ask the question, because he needed to be sure that this man knew that what was coming down the track for him. And the command then follows, verses 8 to 9. And I love this, there's no fuss and bother, no special words, no long prayer. Jesus just says, get up. And interestingly, the word that's translated get up or pick up is a once and for all, aorist tense, okay? That means it's once and for all. So get up. So once you're up, that's it, finish, end on. You're on. And then walk is continuous presence. Isn't it lovely the way the Bible does that? So get up, you're healed. Now walk and continuous. So the healing is walked out. Brilliant. Oh, sorry, it's okay. The command. That's the command. Now the amazing thing is that there he is, he gets up. Okay, now why is that so amazing? Listen, if you had been unable to move, or you had been crippled for 38 years, do we have any physios here? Nurses? You would know that there's no way that even if the muscles were all right and healed, that he could have got up, because the brain and the muscles wouldn't have worked together. He'd have to go through a period of, what was that, rehabilitation, in order to get the body to function. Even if the body itself was healed, the actual functioning of the body would need to go through a period of rehabilitation. But not with Jesus. No, 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 no. Why do we want to go through all that faff? That's why it's such a miracle. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's such a miracle. Yeah. It's great. So, this command is obeyed, the man walks. And then comes the challenge. There is always a challenge to whatever Jesus does. You will find as a Christian, there is more challenge now to living as a Christian than ever before, I want to suggest. It's certainly getting worse in this country now. If you haven't met it yet, then you will do soon. And we need to be careful and to live out our faith, and to be courageous enough to do that, because that's what God has sent us to do. So the challenge here, of course, for Jesus is he's done it on the Sabbath. Didn't you know it? Why did he wait until the following day? Anything why, you see? But Jesus, I have no doubt, knew exactly what he was doing. And John's picture of Jesus is constantly, Jesus is challenging the status quo. He's challenging the issues around leadership, Yes, we will go there today. Did you know that in verse 10 it says, and so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, the law forbids you to carry your mat. There is a law, or was, that you couldn't carry your mat. But I discovered later that there are 39 prohibitions to work on the Sabbath. 39 prohibitions. I can't even imagine what they were. You may not work on a Sunday, even including moving furniture. So I can't move the sideboard from that wall to that wall, because that's work. And that's what Jesus was challenging. And the man, of course, said, well, it wasn't my fault. He told me to do it, Governor. and then the follow-up is, who is this fellow who told you to be here? And the man doesn't know who that fellow is. And they're not interested in this fellow for one illegal furniture mover. They're interested in the man who caused his healing in the first place and did it on a Sabbath. Because if he was a holy man of God, he would know that that shouldn't be. and if he was, then he should be disciplined for doing such a thing. And then in verse 13, it's interesting that the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Jesus never went out to make a big thing, to healing crusades or anything like that. Jesus went about his Father's business. What his Father asked him to do, he did. But he wasn't about fame and fortune in the sense of making this a huge movement, although that was what was going to happen. But his eyes were on the Father and being obedient to the Father. So he didn't need to stay about. He disappeared away from the crowd. So we've got the hospital, the question, the command, the challenge, and now comes the warning. Okay. In verse 14, later Jesus found this man at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Now, some people want to attach sickness to sin. And it is true that the fall of mankind is the source of all sickness. But not all sickness is caused by sin. And not all sinners get sick. And we must be very careful not to brand people as, well, you know what he's like, don't you? You know what he does? He deserves that. No, he doesn't. And remember, you have not got what you deserve. You have got what God's grace has given you. Praise the Lord. It's a different situation. But the healed, once you are healed by the Lord, Jesus is saying, you need to stay clean. And that is repeated, that warning is elsewhere in Scripture too, of course. And the man goes off, the first thing he does, he gets right with the Jewish contingent and tells them that it was Jesus. And, Okay. So the point is, what do we take from this story? What can we take from this passage today? The first thing is, for me, that hit me, was Jesus' compassion. He looks at this hospital full of people in great need, and he picks out one man. Okay. And you could argue, I think, if you were a medical person, which I'm not, but you could argue that he was one of the most difficult, if you like, as we just talked about, his not having walked for 38 years. And what I think is so wonderful, we've already been singing about and praying about this word grace, God's grace and compassion. Grace is the undeserved favour of God. And here Jesus looks across and he sees what is the most difficult person to heal. And he finds him out. Are we fully aware of the grace of God in our lives? You see, he chose you and me. Perhaps you are one of those very difficult characters, I don't know. But he chose us nonetheless, not because of what we deserved, but because of his compassion and his love, and because of his grace. So one of the things I hope you could take from this is, look, rejoice and live in the light of God's love, because he's chosen you. And he's chosen you for a purpose. And that purpose is to be the shining example of his love and grace to others. How about that? How about that? So that was the first thing. Second thing is, do you want to be well? Do you know, a lot of the world don't want to be well. At least they don't see themselves as sick, of course. But it's interesting, when a sinner comes to the Lord, the sinner becomes a saint. The problem for the sinner becoming a saint is that they sign up to be changed. I never knew that God was going to change me. When I came to faith in Christ, I thought it was just that step and all is well and I'll carry on. I know. That isn't it. The sinner goes from being the sinner and trapped and focusing on the enemy and doing what he feels is right, being transformed to be a saint, to follow Christ, to be free, and to live life as he was designed or she was designed to live. And that transformation takes time. It's a journey. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, done. And it's that journey that is the witness, actually, to the rest of the world. But we have to know that as we come into the presence of God and become his follower, that the changes will happen, and we will have to continue to work with the changes of God rather than the changes that we have held on to for years. Christ healed the paralyzed man, and he was well, and his life was transformed. But he had to live that transformed life. And sometimes I think we don't actually sell, forgive me that word, we don't actually talk about a new life in Christ. We should, that actually, do you want to be well? Do you realize that being well, this is what's going to happen? Now, we would all say, never will I go back. Never do I want to go back to what I came from, which God rescued me from. But there's still a struggle, nonetheless, isn't there? And that struggle is real. The difference is that we are struggling to be changed by the Lord, and that difference is that we are his and he is with us in that struggle. But we need to be sure that we're willing to sign up and keep going, because there are those who started the journey and never finished it, which is dreadfully sad. Do you want to be well is perhaps what's being talked of there. Welcome God's changes in our lives is what is being seen there, I think. Yeah, and the last thing is the warning, of course. Jesus' warning to him, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. There's a health warning. You say, goodness me, this is good news, John. Yeah, it is good news. It's the best news you'll ever hear. But there is a health warning. Sin no more. Don't return to your old ways. Because if we go back, the Bible warns us we should not do that, because worse will happen. Jesus says it, and it says it in the Old Testament, and explains it, and gives us all sorts of examples of it in the Old Testament and in the New too. So there's a health warning as we move into the Lord's arms. There's still a health warning there for us to take seriously. Don't look back, get on and move on. So, God has chosen you. You have a purpose. He has made you a saint from a sinner, and you are the witness of his transforming power in your lives. And you are moving on and moving on with God. That's right. No longer in the hospital. Now, in the world, taking Christ to those who so desperately need him. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you know us. You know the beginning from the end. And in spite of that, Lord, you came. And you chose us, and you snatched us from heaven's, from hell's flames to enjoy heaven's celebration. Lord, we don't deserve it, we know that. But we rejoice together and want more than anything that we may truly serve you in all our ways. That we may truly serve you as a body of people at Stoke Green, but as individuals on the street and where you send us. That your love and grace, that the good news of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, will be made public to all who need to know, so that they too may have that opportunity. Do you want to get well? You want to become a saint rather than a sinner? Will you follow on where Jesus meets you? Lord, please, in your mercy, hear our cry.